Deplorable Nation, the podcast of the people, by the people, for the people. For your rights we fight. You decide. Facts. Is it really conspiracy? It's all up to you, patriots. Never give up.
Hello, and welcome all you beautiful, sexy, gorgeous patriots out there, and welcome to episode number 11 of the Deplorable Nation podcast. I'm your host, Deplorable Janet, and today we do have a guest with us, but first let me introduce Mr. Matt. How are you doing today, Mr. Matt?
I'm sporting Dunder Mifflin gear, and I am so happy.
For people that don't know, that is from The Office.
Love it.
So today on this episode, we're going to be doing a very taboo subject, I guess you could say. I'm probably going to have some people after me after this one. But the first person I thought of to do this with me was my good friend Kyle, Conspiracy Kyle from the Conspiracy in the Force podcast. Mr. Kyle, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. And hey, Janet, I was waiting for your wonderful little rhyme at the beginning. I didn't hear anything. So
I know. I didn't make one up today just because today is so serious. And the topic that we have for today should piss off a lot of people, and hopefully it enlightens a lot of people to something that they didn't even know existed, but it should make you really pissed when you find out.
Right.
So, well, anyway.
Let me ask you this. With it being such a serious theme, can I start out with a hilarious joke?
You can.
Okay. I've been sitting on this for several weeks just for you, Janet. Okay. I pulled this from the dad joke manual, and I edited it specifically for you. So, are you ready for this?
Perfect. Let's hear it.
Okay. What do you call Jim Acosta in a minefield? A baboon.
You are really trying to get me banned, don't you know?
I am. And with that, you know, that is all I've prepared. So thank you very much for having me. I'll talk.
That was fantastic. Thanks. We'll see you next time.
that was a cozy 3 minutes.
I got to tell you also something funny. So we've been preparing this for like a week now. It's a lot of research, a lot of research. Today's show is going to be on a hidden cancer cure that has existed for a very long time. And so, you know, Kyle made his notes. I made my notes. I shared my notes with both of them. I asked Matt to do some notes. And so Kyle and I are texting back and forth the other day, and I sent him my notes, and I said, Matt is going to do the chemo. Or I said, Matt has chemo side effects. And Kyle's like, oh no, really? Like, how long has he had them? And I look back at what I wrote, and I'm like, oh, that is not what I meant. He doesn't have cancer.
So send your money orders and credit cards to P.O.
you know, I was just worried because, you know, as we know, Matt's already on the short bus, so he doesn't need anything else wrong with him. You know, I felt bad for the guy. He's on the short bus. He's getting chemo treatments. I mean, my God, this guy.
Heart condition.
Heart surgery. I sent him all my money, you know, immediately. So.
I know. Well, and he does need a fund for some more bubble wrap, just so everybody knows that.
That's true. I'll tell you what deters them from selling me more bubble wrap is I go in there with bubble wrap already applied to myself, so it just doesn't work out.
It does not. You should go to the Dollar Tree. They have bubble wrap.
Yeah.
So today we're going to do a super quick update before we get into the really serious, heavy business. So, Mr. Matt, I heard that a little birdie told me that you wrote an article for a big media source regarding the crap that's being taught in the schools.
Right. So a lot of you know, like from the last one, I'd spoke with this David Webb, and he was really cool, really awesome guy. And he referred me to, I think it was Choice Media. And it's a guy named Bob Bowden, I believe is how they pronounce it. Anyway, so about a week ago, I think it was last weekend, not this one, but before, he asked me, can you write up a little thing? You know, we'll edit it. We'll bounce it back and forth, you know, and they're like, you know, we'll publish this for you. And I actually talked to him the other day and I said, oh, there was something. Could you take something out? You know, something I just want. And he goes, yeah, we'll edit it correctly. We took that part out anyway, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, so I'm just waiting to get like my proofreading of it, like, and then they're going to put it out. And, you know, like I said, a lot of the stuff, I got to be really clear because I think a lot of people think that like I'm just trying to either raise hell or, you know, get clicks off of this. And I really don't care about any of that. I just want parents to be informed. I mean, we're taxpayers. We have a right to know what our kids are being taught. And so basically, yeah, I wanted to give out and I've given the name out of, and this is basically a contact person for all of the schools that my kid goes to. Like they go across the country. It's not just one or two. Like in East LA, there's like seven of them.
Right.
So it's a whole thing. And the school is called KIPP, K-I-P-P, and that stands for the Knowledge is Power Program. So if you just want to look up KIPP LA Schools or KIPP LA SoCal or whatever, I mean, you'll just see how far that these guys go. And my whole point was if they're teaching this with my kid, right, they're probably teaching it at all of these schools because they're not going to do a specific curriculum, right?
Right.
At a public charter. These are public charters. Again, a lot of people don't know the difference. We are not a union school. That's what kind of gets me, though, is that we have a union, LAUSD, that oversees everybody. Their union, they're the ones who I guarantee you paid money, maybe even to George Soros and his foundation, where they put, you know, what, $18 billion in. And it's just like, dude, I just don't get it. It's just like, dude, no one asked for any of this stuff. So, okay. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, Donald Trump tweeted about this the other day.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, the 16, is it the 1619 project? Is that
yes? It's called the 1619 project, and this is not only being adopted into the schools. This is also being adopted into businesses and even government agencies. Trump also tweeted about that the other day and put a stop to it.
Right.
So for people that don't know, look that up. It's
right.
Called 1619 Project.
I think the basis of it, from what I understand it, is just that they're trying to change and do this revisionary thing of especially slavery and American history to where it's like everybody who's white looks horribly bad. Hey, you know, we've had a lot of bad history in this country, but it's like you don't need to stoke the flames of hate anymore. And I got to add one thing. Everybody that's so pro-BLM this year, where were you guys last year? Where were you the year before? Where were you the year before? All this shows up during an election year. So, you know, piss off to everybody who says it's not political. Fucking bullshit.
Well, didn't the 1619 project, didn't it start from somebody at the New York Times? I think that's what I was looking up earlier.
Something like that. Yeah. And it's like, who is this? So you're saying like just some random reporter or anybody can just say, well, this is what we're going to learn. And then see, that's my whole point with what I'm fighting. I'm a parent. Dude, we pay taxes. I should have the choice of what they learn when it comes to shit like this, because it's like one guy said on the thread, it was brilliant about my video. He goes, do you think they're going to teach, you know, KKK and Chicano studies in South Central to the black people? Dude, they would rightfully so be pissed off and say, fuck this. Why are you doing that? It doesn't benefit anybody. And it's like, if people want to look into it further, it should be the parents saying that, not the teachers going, oh no, you have to learn this. And then it's basically your whole social justice warrior bullshit guised as, political and racial justice, right?
Right.
It's bullshit.
Which it's just to further an agenda right now because their purse strings were cut. Their money's been cut off.
Oh,
shit is falling apart. So
sure, big time.
This is their way to try to radicalize the youth of the country or radicalize people in government, in businesses, whatnot. So keep in mind, I said radicalize, okay?
Right.
You know how they're always talking about people being radicalized to ISIS? People are being radicalized to the Communist Party. So just pay attention to that.
So if anybody, and I've told anybody, I've given this guy's name out. And to me, I've told Janet about this before. And just the title, I guess this guy is like in charge of seeing how everybody reacts to everything. Now listen to this. So if you want to write on my behalf, and I'm telling everybody, I want everybody, if you do write and you're a parent, just say, hey, I support Mr. Moss with wanting to get the BLM curriculum out of all schools in America. It has no place. So if you want to write on my behalf, write peacefully, stay on point, and just maybe give an example like if it's affected your kids or whatever. But here's who you're going to write, and I'm going to do a video or I'll post this too. But the guy's name's Dr. Manny, M-A-N-N-Y, Manny Aceves, A-C-E-V-E-S. Now listen to this guy's title, and you tell me this doesn't sound like kind of weird or like they're spying on people. This guy is the Chief External Impact Officer for KIPP, K-I-P-P, SoCal, Southern California. And I was told by our principal, anybody on the social media at all who wants to talk about, you know, politics, what we're talking, you write this guy, and his email is M as in Manny, A-C-E-V-E-S at KIPP, K-I-P-P, SoCal.org. And I'm going to do a video, and I'm going to post it, and I'll probably have, like, you know, me holding up a sign with it. But that's the guy you write. And I guess this guy, to me, if I hear Chief External Impact Officer, that means that you're checking on how this is affecting everybody, good, bad, or otherwise.
That's predictive programming AI, like we talked about on a previous show. So just keep that in mind.
I got permission, and like I said, I didn't want to – I mean, again, all these teachers are public teachers. As far as I understand, I could give out, you know, their work emails and stuff like that, but I'm not going to do it because I think that just going through this guy, he's going to be like, wait a minute, why am I getting all these, you know, letters from parents going, yeah, we agree with Mr. Moss, because I've already sent them my info. I wrote him myself and said, here's the video. Just, you might be getting some feedback from it. So just to let you know.
Now, Matt, let me ask you this. From what you've heard from any other parents, you know, online or Twitter or anything, have you heard from anybody that had this type of curriculum exist in any other year before that may just not have been as, you know, publicized because of maybe it was kind of a smaller scale thing? Or is it really only this year?
As far as I've seen, it's for me, it's this year. But I know what you're saying. I actually heard from a parent who said back even a year or two ago that their kid was having to make Marxist posters in class. And I'm like, dude, I would have been like school board lawsuits all up down the street. Like,
right. Yeah.
It's like, how does that benefit? I mean, again, if you want to mention it, cause like me and Janet were talking earlier before the show, I said, dude, I don't remember any of this stuff in our schools. And I mean, I know it's obviously a long time ago, but my God, it's like, they were afraid to talk politics when we were in junior high and high school, cause they knew how divisive it was and it could lead to like what's going on now.
Right.
So, yeah, I have heard from other people saying that this does exist. I haven't seen it at my school, but like, dude, this year it was just like pedal to the metal, balls to the wall. We're going to cram this down to your throat until you, you know, choke on it.
Right. And like, do the kids even understand what a lot of that stuff is? You know what I mean? It doesn't seem like they are really even going to comprehend
the full scope
of what that means. And they don't, right. They don't care.
All these kids, I peeked in once or twice. I don't helicopter parent and just watch her, but I look in because I have the right to. And I see every kid looking down and they're probably playing Fortnite or Minecraft or doing any other thing than this. And I'm just like, dude, for what? You know, they don't make a shitload of money. They really don't, I don't think, on these kids as far as what I thought the number was, because people were saying, oh, dude, your numbers are off. And I'm like, regardless, it's not the point. The point is I should have a say or what my kid's going to learn. And when you come in and say, we denounce white supremacy, the principal's a white Irish lady, and my daughter's one of the few white people, it's kind of scary for her, you know?
Right.
They don't understand at 13 that, like, no, they really mean this, and there are white people being killed, and you can look that shit up online anywhere, and they proudly show it anymore. I mean, that's frightening to me.
Okay, so let's get busy on the topic of cancer.
Go ahead, man. I said my story.
First, I'm going to give you a little background history, excuse me, of how the medical system, the schools, and all of that, government agencies and everything were infiltrated to teach only what a certain select few wanted to be taught. So this is all traced back to J.D. Rockefeller and his partner, Andrew Carnegie. I'm sure you guys have heard of both of them. Both of them have very large foundations. Anyway, they were trying to come up with a way to make it so that they could reform what was being taught in medical school and push Big Pharma. So who comes up with one of Big Pharma plants? J.D. Rockefeller, Andrew Carnegie Foundation. So they hatched this brilliant plan. It was to market only the drugs that they wanted pushed that came out of Big Pharma, and to shut down any and all natural, herbal, and naturopathic schools. So what they did, how they went about this in the first place, they found this teacher that they thought wrote papers very well, and his name was Abraham Flexner. So they hired him under the Carnegie Foundation to be their lead reformer, to head the reform of the medical schools, and to push pharma as the, quote, gold standard. So what he did over many years was create a report that he turned into a book. He gave it to Congress in 1910. Congress read through it, and then they enacted it as law. And what they did during that time, they shut down all the natural methodology schools. They even jailed a lot of the doctors that were like, no, we don't believe in this. But the interesting thing to know is that the big pharma ended up funding all of the medical schools, because once this passed into law, they sent Flexner around to all of the medical schools in the United States to see if they were, quote, up to their par. And if they weren't, they got shut down. So they decided to have Big Pharma actually start funding the medical schools. They took out the dietary teaching, the natural modality methods. That's why a lot of doctors that, you know, go to school and patients go see, and they're like, well, what can I do with my diet, or what kind of supplements should I take? They can't answer you because they don't know, because it's taken out of school. They don't teach it anymore. You may have in medical school nowadays one class, and that's it, on nutrition. Okay, so that's how that whole thing started. But for over a century, the two foundations actually controlled every medical school in the United States. And the kicker is the Rockefeller Foundation owns many of the top universities. They're like their main founder slash funder. And so they go by whatever the Rockefeller family says.
Right. So they're essentially setting up what you could call, you know, like the medical industrial complex, you know,
That's exactly what it is.
Right. No different than we talk about the military industrial complex, which, you know, Trump has actually been, you know, putting out into the mainstream now. And a lot of people are kind of, well, what the hell is he talking about? But, you know, it's no different. You know, the military industrial complex, they want to keep pushing war. The medical industrial complex wants to keep pushing diseases and medicine.
That's true.
And prescriptions.
Because if they can make you sick and then sell you the cure, they've made double the money, right?
Right. And one quick note on that, and I'll talk a little bit about some of my family history later on, but a quick thing I'll say is, you know, my mom had passed away of cancer. But so listen to this when you talk about them not talking about diet, exercise, things like that. So my mom passed away when she was in her 50s. My grandma, her mom, passed away when she was in her 50s. Now get this. My great grandma lived till she was over 100 years old. Okay.
That's fantastic.
And the difference is she lived the majority of her, probably first 20, 30 years of her life, she lived on a farm.
Right.
So her body was formed based on natural ingredients, natural food that they had grown, that they had eaten, that they've, you know, created themselves. And then obviously, you know, when she was in her, you know, 20s and 30s, she moved into the city. And then you can imagine there's kind of, and honestly, over the past 50 years or so, there's been a degradation in obviously the quality of food that is pushed out. So then that's kind of one thing I always think, like, that is the one link between my great grandma being different from my mom and grandma is the diet.
It definitely. So when they set up all of these schools and stuff, it was under complete and total control. So then they also had a hand in funding the American Medical Association and developing that so that the guidelines of the AMA matched what the guidelines were that they set for the schools, which also matched the guidelines that Big Pharma were under. Okay, so you see where I'm going with this? So then in comes his introduction of chemo and radiation. And then they took all of the schools and they filled them with all of the members from both their boards to make sure that all of this stuff was in place. And as a side note, the Rockefellers also helped to set up the FBI. Just so you know that. So yeah. This shit all ties together. So anyway, with the introduction of the chemotherapy, and this is what is so fucked up that I found during the research, was that chemotherapy was actually traced back to the German introduction of chemical warfare during World War I. Have you guys ever heard of mustard gas?
Yeah.
Okay. Mustard gas, aka nitrogen mustards, was the first chemotherapy introduced into the United States.
Wow.
Now, here's the kicker. Mustard gas was actually banned during the Geneva Convention because of its toxic and cancerous effects.
Wow.
Hilarious.
On people who were sprayed with it. However, isn't that convenient that the Geneva Convention said you can no longer use that in warfare, but I'll be goddamn it's okay to treat patients with it.
And that's going to be the key theme we're going to be talking about, is a toxic treatment versus right. a non-toxic treatment. I mean, that is so fundamentally flawed that right. it doesn't take a rocket scientist to kind of see what the problem is here.
Hey, you guys, right. you guys want to know something kind of weird though with my, my medicine that I take? When I take my warfarin pills, warfarin, from what I understand, is used like when they cover a house and they try to like debug it. I heard that they use high doses of warfarin and the bugs just pop.
It's
you know
rat
what I mean?
Poison.
Yeah. I mean, so
it's the key ingredient in rat poison.
So basically I'm taking 7.5 milligrams of warfarin every morning. Every Tuesday and Thursday, I take a half a pill. I'm not kidding you. Every time I take it, I feel like I want to vomit because I'm literally taking an incredibly small dose of poison to keep my yes. valve open. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So there
right.
you go.
And that's what your medical industry does for you.
Yeah. And same with chemo. That's one of the main side effects is nausea. You know, anybody that's had to be on a chemo treatment, nausea all the time.
That's why I smoke too, though. I mean, they told me, they said just because of pain and like inflammation, and like marijuana is an anti-inflammatory, so it actually does help me a lot.
And it's a anti nausea for right. a lot of people.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, there's times in the morning, if you saw me after I take a pill, I'm literally in tears because it makes me feel mm-hmm. so sick.
A lot of medications have that effect, even if you have literally taken them for years on end. They still upset your stomach. They still make you very nauseated.
Right.
And it happens frequently. And that's because you're taking toxic medications. That's why anybody that's ever listened to me before knows I fucking hate Big Pharma. I hate them because
yeah.
I know what they're doing. Right. It's not a game. It's not, you know, like people always say, oh, well, you know, it's just because you had a bad experience. No, you don't understand. They are absolutely poisoning you.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
With everything that you take, either your brain patterns being altered, your pineal glands being shut off. It's causing side effects in your organs. It can cause organ failure, shutdown, death. You name it, you're going to get it from medications.
Hey, should I go ahead and say some of these side effect things? Because I wrote some
yeah.
stuff down.
Yeah, absolutely. So
my source was quite simply, I was looking on the Mayo Clinic. There was so many different ones, but it was just cancer.net. And it was pretty simple. My stepdad, just to let everybody know, back in Indiana, had leukemia. And I was there the last week he was alive. And, dude, he died 12 hours after Mother's Day. it was just the creepiest thing. And dude, like to see somebody die from cancer is like absolutely
awful.
It's a nightmare. Dude, you don't wish it on your worst enemy. But so basically what they were saying is chemo, here's some side effects of chemo. They say chemo works on active cells. Your active cells are cells that are growing, dividing to more of the same type of cell. So cancer cells are active, but so are some healthy cells. And these include cells that are in your blood, your mouth, your digestive system, and your hair follicles. And side effects happen when chemotherapy damages your healthy cells, right? So your basic ones, like you said, fatigue, everyone's like extremely tired, pain, headaches, muscle pain, stomach pain, pain from nerve damage, such as burning, numbness, or shooting pains, usually in the finger and toes. They call treating these side effects is called palliative care, which I never knew that.
Right.
Interesting. And a little bit more, they said you can get mouth and throat sores. Chemo can damage the cells inside the mouth and throat, and that condition is called mucositis, M-U-C-O-S-I-T-I-S. You'll get mouth sores sometimes, they said, 5 to 14 days after any chemotherapy. You can also get diarrhea, loose watery bowel stool, nausea and vomiting, of course, constipation, blood disorders, loss of balance, problems seeing, feeling clumsy, trembling in the hands. There's just multiple side effects. But, yeah, obviously nausea. And to tie my marijuana thing, weed, I think, is a very good thing to stop against nausea of chemo.
Right.
Right.
But I'm not a doctor. I'm just saying my own personal experience for, my condition. It's really helped me a lot, so.
And then, there's radiation too, which, you want to talk about, crazy shit, in the documentary, we're going to talk about, they talk about this 4-year-old kid that they put her on high doses of chemo and radiation at the same time.
Oh.
And the radiation burned her skull. Okay.
Right.
It burned her skull. Her urine was so toxic. They had to use rubber gloves to change her diaper.
Oh my God.
And, she had gone onto a different type of treatment, which we're going to talk about, which actually got rid of the cancer. But she ended up dying a few years later of the side effects from the radiation. And she had no cancer at the time of her death. So, you tell me, like, why do we think that's okay? Why do we think that's the only way? And like we've been talking about, it's all about money. It's all about keeping a customer for years and years and years.
Yeah.
So, The doctor that we're talking about, his name is Dr. Stanislaw Berzinski. he was a Polish doctor, and while he was doing his research in 1967 and 1968 in biology, he discovered a peptide chain in the body that no one else had ever discovered before, which I find that odd because how many researchers are there out there looking at shit, and this guy is the first one to ever see this. And so what he discovered was that this particular peptide chain is found in abundance in healthy people in their blood and their urine. But when he looked at cancer patients, they didn't have this peptide chain anywhere. And so he decided to research further and see if he could extract that peptide chain and give it to cancer patients and see if that helped shrink their tumor and whatnot. So initially, when he was still researching, before he ever set up private practice, he partnered with the Baylor College of Medicine. That's in Waco, Texas. I used to live there. It's a great medical school. Anyway, and also partnered with the National Cancer Institute initially. Then when he set up private practice in 1977, he could no longer get funding from the National Cancer Institute. And so the only thing that he could do was to take out bank loans or depend on patient payments or insurance payments to actually keep his research going. And when he did all of this stuff, he actually patented what he found, because in the initial stages when he was investigating this, doing trials. He would partner with like the National Cancer Institute, but they wouldn't pay for anything. It was all private funded. He started manufacturing these peptide chain combinations in his own. He built his own pharmacy manufacturing place, basically not a pharmaceutical company, but like a laboratory. And so anyway, he patented that. And according to the state guidelines at the time and whatnot and all the laws, he could only treat patients within the state of Texas. He was not allowed to mail the medication to put it through interstate commerce. He couldn't send it overseas, nothing like that. He could only do it in Texas. So patients found out about it and they would start traveling to him to get this done. But I will tell you, his invention pissed off Big Pharma, people in the FDA, which, trust me, you're going to know some of the names that I mentioned today because they're still around in different agencies in the government. But anyway, in 1985, excuse me, the Texas Medical Board of Examiners started fighting him. They took him to court multiple times from like 1995 to 2016 was the last case.
Didn't he get sued like 24 times over the year? I think I know this story.
So many.
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah, he got sued to death over this every year. Whatever.
Right. Right. And it was from a long period of time. Like I said, like from 1985 until 2016.
That was like 30 years went by or something. Yeah.
The final court case was settled in 2017. And I will tell you, this man is impeccable in his researchings because absolutely none of these cases ever resulted in anything for the doctor. The government, the FDA was behind this, pushing and pushing and pushing the state, which there's a board member that was on the case in 2016 that's a super interesting character that actually came from a Fortune 500 company. He's not a doctor, but during, I watched this last trial, and this wasn't part of the movie, this was additional research afterwards. But anyway, he was like, we're going to fine him this much for this and fine him this much for this. We're going to take his license and he has to do community service and he has to do this and this and this and this and all this other shit. So anyway, I'll remind me and I'll tell you later about the outcome of the case. But this particular person that was on that board came from a Fortune 500 company, has really big ties to the Rockefeller Foundation.
Of course.
So and anyway.
And to talk a little bit about like the drug itself, I think it was called anti-neoplastins. Is that correct?
Anti-neoplastons.
Anti-neoplastons, right. And basically at the outset, he was and I was a little fuzzy on this. Was he extracting the peptides from the healthy patients?
Yes.
And he was basically in his lab synthesizing those,
right,
and creating a manufacturing process so that he could, test that out on, you know, cancer patients. And right. you know, one of the things that the board of examiners, all these people, had issues with was they said, well, you don't have any published clinical trials. Well, you know, there's kind of a few interesting things about the whole clinical trials thing. You know, for one, I think they prevented him at every step from doing those and publishing those.
Oh, definitely.
And for two, what they really wanted from him was to see what's called a phase three clinical trial, which basically means you're going to have a few hundred people involved in this trial, and it's where you get stuff like what you would call a double blind study, right? Where you would have some people taking a placebo, some people taking the anti-neoplastons, and then you kind of monitor this over time. So, and true, it never did get to that phase. But if you go to the National Institute of Health website, you will see, from 1977 into the 80s, you will see a lot of the phase one summaries of the trials that he did. So there is information about the trials he did, and the effect. Yeah, there was a patient or two that did die, but you know, they chose to be part of the trial, you know, so there was really good results from a lot of the people. And I would encourage anybody to go take a look at that for themselves on all the different types of chains and different iterations of these drugs he was testing.
Right. And, you know, initially, when he discovered this, and he started his trials, you know, and he was very thorough on, you know, doing the, you know, the blood test and the MRIs and all of that stuff and documenting tumor size and whatnot. So his initial studies, it was a 40% cure rate. Now I'm going to tell you what cure rate means. Cure rate means living over 5 years. So a lot of the patients that he actually saw were people that had inoperable terminal cancers, most of them in children, where, you know, the only quote gold standard treatment is radiation, which actually kills the patient super rapidly because most of them are brain tumors or brain stem tumors, eye tumors, things like that, things on the optic nerves and whatnot. And so there's no way to operate to get those out. So he had it, you know, in the traditional sense of the word, during radiation, you're lucky if you get 2 additional months for these particular type of tumors. His was over a 40% cure rate, which means they lived over 5 years.
Right.
A lot of the people that he actually treated, and these are like from, you know, 2 years old, I think was the youngest one I saw. But they're adults with their own families now.
Right.
So think about that. Even when you say, oh my gosh, 40% is not that good.
Yeah. I'm looking at the clinical trial that he had published in 1977. This was one of the original ones.
Right.
And between 21 patients, 4 of them had complete remission. 4 of them had partial remission. Six of them, you know, improved, but still didn't qualify for remission. 5 of them passed away, but and like you're saying, a lot of these are extreme cases that he's
right.
doing these on. But of the 5 people that passed away, 2 of them did show significant improvement. You know, so
right.
there's 4, 4, 6, 2. So that's 14 patients, you know, out of 20 altogether that had pretty significant improvement.
And think about this too. Their guidelines for admitting patients to the clinical trials, the government said they had to have gone through chemo and radiation first. Now, some of the patients did. Some of the patients he treated did not, because they opted not to do that. So,
right.
But anyway, during all of these years, excuse me, at first it was your invention doesn't work. It's not safe. Blah, 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 blah. Those kept losing in court. They lost everything. He was always acquitted. And so then the government switched course and they were like, oh, wait a minute. It's not about safety. It's not about efficacy, and it's not treatment issues or anything like that. Basically, it's just because we don't like you.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? It's basically like we're just gonna like change course because the juries were actually sympathizing with the doctor and with the patients. And in one of the cases that they brought to trial, the state didn't even bring any expert witnesses, like none.
Right.
And the judges like rebuked them. So anyway, over all of these periods of years, twice, the Congress actually intervened under, you know, a specific congressman. Intervened and told them to stop harassing him. They called the FDA director to Congress twice and was like, stop it, because this is pure harassment because, you know, it's what do? They try to put him in jail. They tried to take his license away because he had a patent and they wanted to take his research. Now, can you think of another doctor that's been all over social media lately that they also stole her research? And it might have involved Dr. Fauci.
I find that hard to believe, Janet.
Her name's Dr. Judy Mikovits.
Yep.
They stole her HIV research. So same thing. That's what they were trying to do to him constantly. Discredit him, get him shut down, try to prove it didn't work.
Let me ask you this. Do you think any of this had any small part to do with, I mean, he wasn't born in America, was he? Where was he born?
No, he was Polish.
Right. So you have, you know, from their perspective, they have a foreigner coming over here and, you know, lapping the field in cancer research. So basically, you know, devil's advocate on their side, you know, this guy's giving us a black eye. He's doing way better research. He's doing way more to help people than we are. We need to silence this guy.
Right. And it's definitely possible, but you know, the whole thing is he was stepping on toes,
right,
and they didn't like it because they have their little good old boys club set up. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So listen to this. This is a statement from the FDA director at the time. This was back in the day. This is not currently because he's no longer there. His name is Dr. Richard Kraut. And he stated, "I have never and never will approve a new drug to an individual, but only to a large pharmacy firm with unlimited finances."
Sounds like a nice guy.
Yeah. So now think about that. Is that not some form of discrimination? Discrimination in business practices? That was back in the day. So then we have another statement in 1976 in the Cancer Institute letter that states, and this is lovely, pay really close attention to this. "When anyone other than large institutions ask permission to conduct clinical trials, you want harsh regulations. Sometimes we find it proper to hinder their research."
Wow. Right. Of course. You know, it makes total sense.
This is coming from an agency of the federal fucking government who went after this man just nonstop.
Right.
And so in one of the cases in 1996, it went before the Supreme Court. Anyway, the government sent letters to the judge threatening her that if they did not rule against the doctor, that they would pursue seizure and raids of his home and clinic and issue a propaganda campaign.
Oh.
They said propaganda campaign in this letter, or seek criminal prosecution. And the judge was like, "Fuck you. I don't have to do what you say."
Exactly.
And she ruled for him again. So they put in writing what they were going to do, which is exactly what they did.
Mm-hmm.
So this asshole from the FDA sent a letter to Dr. Brzezinski taunting him, and they said, "We have other ways to get you." Okay. Doesn't sound fishy to me at all now, does it? So twice they raided his home and clinic, took all of the medical charts. He had no access to the records. And while this is going on, of course, clinical trials are going on. You can't really treat a patient if you really don't know what the tumor sizes were, what dosage they were given, what exact combination they were giving, et cetera, et cetera. So patients died.
Right.
Jesus.
Purposely. Ooh. The government, thank you very much.
It's almost unbelievable, but you know, the more you talk about this kind of stuff in all these huge organizations, it's not as unbelievable as it used to be.
No, it's not.
It happens all the time.
You know, and hopefully people wake up to this, because this treatment is a naturally occurring peptide chain in your body, which means it's natural and non-toxic.
Right. You know what? I was looking up, try to find some counterpoints from the other side as far as, you know, why they wanted to get him so bad. Maybe there is something that obviously the documentaries lean towards his side. So is there anything else that I could find as to why they wanted to get him so bad? And the only thing I could find is that, you know, people say, you know, they result to, you know, name calling. Oh, he's a quack. He's a this.
Exactly. He's a that.
And there's nothing as far as his treatment. The only thing they'll say is, oh, well, people died during his clinical trials. Well, motherfucker, people die in FDA proven clinical trials too. So
all the time. What's your yep. point?
And by more numerous numbers than him. So.
Okay. So get this. Here's how shady the FDA and the government was during this particular time. And this is when all of these stupid lawsuits and shit were going on. So he had several patients that were cured and had been like cancer free for, you know, 20 years or whatnot. And so they're going on TV or in new sources supporting him and talking about, you know, how they actually can live a great life now and do all that stuff. The FDA decided to subpoena all records for any patients that ever spoke publicly about him. There were patients on Sally Jesse Raphael and what was that guy's name at night? I think it's King.
Oh,
Don King?
No, not Don.
Is that right?
Larry King.
Larry King. Anyway, they were on several different talk shows and news sources and stuff like that. So anyway, they also got word that Dr. Brzezinski was working with other doctors around the world. They were flying in to visit his clinic, look at his research, whatnot. The FDA subpoenaed all of the doctors around the world who had ever even talked to him.
Wow.
Is that not some crazy shit?
That's insane.
So then they started, you know, of course, the scare tactics on the patients and stuff, and trying to get them to like turn and say bad things about him, and you know, file affidavits of complaint against him, and all this other stuff. So they started harassing not only his patients but all these other doctors.
And can you imagine being these patients, right? Like you go on his program, and for a lot of them, you know, they've gotten healthy, you know, cancer's gotten remission. And then you have these assholes coming to talk to you. Hey, will you talk shit about that guy that just saved your life? Like it's
I know, absolutely right?
Ridiculous. I would just laugh.
It's insane to me. You know, that you, you just went through cancer. Okay. And then you got somebody trying to intimidate you.
Right. Like I've already seen worse than you.
I know, right?
Yeah.
That would be a really bad fucking idea as far as I'm concerned, but you know. So this, like, it went insane against him. There was like the 24 court cases, 11 grand juries. All the time he was acquitted. It was just nonsense. Like continually they couldn't prove a case, but the FDA and the government and Big Pharma and the Texas Medical Board, headed by some interesting people on their own, just would not stop harassing him. It was like nonstop every year, and sometimes two times a year or three times a year they would file new suits against him, which I find to be just insane.
And one thing I found out too is from some of the research, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounded like Dr. Brzezinski had strong ties to the Republican Party. Yeah. You know, Joe Barton, Rick Perry, some other people in the Republican Party, he had a lot of strong ties to.
Right. So, you know, Joe Barton's the one that convened the two congressional hearings to tell the FDA to back off.
Right. And he basically told him, you know, okay, this is the third or fourth time you've done this. If it hasn't worked all these times, what do you think? How do you think it's going to work this time? And that, right. In that, Kessler was basically speechless, and he had, you know, he sounded like he had his head up his ass. He didn't even know what to say at that point.
And he goes, well, how do you know it didn't work? Well, I don't know, bitch, because he's not been indicted in all these attempts.
Right.
It's insane. So while he's doing his research, he initially, finally decided that he was going to have to partner with the pharmacy company. And so he had deals set up with a pharmacy in Japan and one in Italy, because they'd both been there to his clinic, seen his research, studied what he was doing. So he had these deals, and then all of a sudden at the last minute, they backed out. I wonder why. Probably because the government had subpoenaed all the doctors that they'd ever talked to.
Of course.
So anyway, this pharmaceutical company just miraculously pops up, and it was called Elan Pharmaceutical. I guess the way it happened in the first place, the CEO's sister was successfully treated by Dr. Brzezinski. So they signed on, and they're like, oh, this is going to be fantastic. We will partner with you. So during the same time, Dr. Brzezinski had hired a scientist. Her name was Dr. Dvorak Samid. And she was hired just to further the clinical research and see if there was, you know, anything more that they could discover. So at the same time, she's making a backdoor deal with Elan Pharmaceuticals. So he hires her. Unbeknownst to him, she's already side partnering with Elan Pharmaceuticals to try to steal his research. So she leaves Dr. Brzezinski and goes to work for Elan Pharmaceuticals. And then Elan Pharmaceuticals backs out of the deal with Dr. Brzezinski. That's not shady at all, huh?
Right. And some of the, and I, and, you know, and during the documentary, and if anybody wants to watch the documentary we're talking about, it's called Cancer is Serious Business. You can find it on YouTube, you know, for now. I'm sure they'll pull it down soon. But, you know, a lot of the doctors and scientists that were working for Samid, you know, had no idea where this new research, new information was coming from. So,
right.
So they,
she didn't cite where she got the information from.
Right, right. They used like abbreviations like BRI, which meant Brzezinski Research Institute, but
right.
But there was no index to say what that was. So, you know, some scientists that worked for her worked for years on some of this stuff, and they had no idea that it was stolen.
Right. And so when Elan Pharmaceuticals stole the research, basically tried to take over, then they ended up partnering with the government to do the National Cancer Institute to do the clinical trials. And so when they set that up, they sent an internal memo and said, absolutely do not send any information to Dr. Brzezinski or anyone inquiring on it. Send everything to Dr. Friedman. Now, have you guys seen Dr. Friedman on TV?
No.
You haven't?
I don't think I have.
Okay. Well, Dr. Friedman has traveled around many government agencies. He's traveled around from the CDC, the FDA, whatnot. Anyway, I thought maybe you guys had heard of him. But anyway, so Dr. Friedman decided he was going to be a total asswipe. And so he sent a letter to Dr. Brzezinski, and he said, your consent is no longer needed. And so Dr. Brzezinski fired a letter back to him and said, there were patients admitted to your trial against your own criteria. And so, hold on, I got a cough. Because of that exposure, Dr. Brzezinski actually got one of the clinical trials shut down because the government wasn't following their own protocols.
Ah.
So during this study, they had also, or during this clinical trial, they had also published like the whole study, including all of the research part and the dosages and whatnot, kind of as a ha-ha in your face. Look what we did. We stole your research and we did this without you just to prove you wrong.
Right.
Okay, so get this. They published the study And then they didn't realize that in publishing it, they violated their own strict guidelines set by themselves, not only for admission criteria, but also because they published in there that they were giving patients less than their own required dosage set by themselves in their clinical trial.
Ah, my God.
So think about what I just said. They're purposely giving you less to treat you than what they put as their own published guidelines. That means the government was intentionally letting people die again just to prove Dr. Brzezinski is wrong.
Right.
Jesus.
Right. And they had no intention of ever using these drugs.
No.
You know, it's like back in the day when I used to live at home and I'd be sitting in a room, you know, the TV was on, and then my little sister comes in and she wants to watch something on TV, and I grab the remote. No, I want to watch something. But I had no intention of watching it. I just didn't want her to. You know, it's the same childish mannerism that's the government and the FDA.
It's kind of like I think of it like a spoiled brat,
right?
That thinks that everything is theirs and everything's mine. The research is mine. The patients are mine. The public health is mine. Everything's mine. Mine. I control the world.
Right. Like a jealous ex, you know, like, yes. If I can't have you, nobody can, you know.
Oh, exactly.
Good point.
It's insane. To me, think about that. That's two different times now where they, you know, not only published information stating that they would never approve this treatment, but that they let people die just because they want control.
You know what's sad though? What would they do that to their family? You know, the people up at the top, would they let it happen to their friends? You know, or is it right. Just fuck everybody else, you know?
Right.
Okay. I'm just going to throw this out there. And this is about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Do you remember when, oh my God, she has pancreatic cancer. She's got to go in the hospital. Oh my God, wait, she's totally cured.
No, that can't be right. There's no way.
And now she was like, you know, doing a wedding with no mask on, possible. You know, completely fine.
Possible.
Yeah. Okay, so now think about that. Because there is no cure for pancreatic cancer. If you have ever had a family member or patient, friend, loved one, anything that has pancreatic cancer, ooh, it is rough to watch. They go downhill super fast. And usually they die within 6 months of diagnosis.
Yeah, it's a death sentence.
So, but however, she got it, and I believe they said she was stage 3 or stage 4, and then miraculously she's cured and doesn't have pancreatic cancer anymore. What kind of treatments is she being given that you're not allowed to get because you're told the only thing you can do is fry your body with
radiation
or take chemotherapy, which I want people to look up chemotherapy drugs because one of the side effects in there actually says itself that it is a carcinogen and may cause metastatic tumors. Okay, so you're treating yourself with chemotherapy medications that are going to give you horrid side effects that also state they could also give you another form of cancer.
Right. Joke's on you. Haha.
Jeez.
So she was miraculously cured of something that for all of us is incurable. I find that highly interesting.
into math.
So fuck you, America, and fuck you, the rest of the world, because we don't give a shit about you. Only the elite are able to get treatments like this.
Right. And to Matt's point, you know, it's these elite people, right? Like that Elon Pharmaceutical only started going down this route because, oh, the CEO's sister got mm-hmm. healed of it. All these other peons that got healed of it, don't worry about them. But hey, one of these elite people, you know, right. It worked for her. So now it's serious.
Right. So, anyway, the FDA, during all this time and whatnot, they started filing patents from 1991. Anyway, they filed 11 patents for Dr. Brzezinski's medication. So they're trying to steal his patent.
God.
Okay. So repeatedly filed patents of their own. At the same time, you know, stealing his research, you know, Elon Pharmaceuticals stole his research, the government stole his research during the multiple raids of his house and his clinic and everything else. So anyway, their own patent states, and I quote, and pay attention to this, current approaches to combat cancer rely primarily on the use of chemicals and radiation, which are themselves carcinogenic and may promote recurrence and development of metastatic disease. Metastatic means that it spreads. Cancer does that, especially once it hit your lymph nodes.
Right.
Usually kidneys, liver, brain, but it can spread anywhere. Anyway, this is in their own patent information. So they're telling you as well. Well, we still want you. We're trying to patent this drug that works, but we still want you to use chemo and radiation, even though you're going to get more tumors from it.
Right.
Unbelievable.
And that's essentially what happened to my mom. So she was originally diagnosed with nasal cancer in the mid 90s. Right. And, you know, then, you know, went into remission for several years, came back again, went into remission again for several years. And then, you know, about, you know, 12, 11 years ago when she passed away, it came back and spread to her lungs and brain. So right. At that point, it's over. And then it makes you wonder, you know, looking at this, was it the cancer or was it the treatment?
Right. It's the treatment.
That's a good point, man. Wow.
Their own research shows that. I just read it to you.
Jesus. Wild. It's right in front of you. It's right in your face, you know?
Exactly. Now, here's another statement that I find interesting. This came from statements from the FDA own trial stuff. It said, Dr. Brzezinski's antineoplastons are responsible for the first recorded cures in the history of medicine within any FDA clinical trials for inoperable brainstem gliomas in children, up to a 50% cure rate, which again, like I said, that means you live longer than 5 years. So all are adults now with their own families, but get what I said, that even came from the FDA, who kept suing him because he can't do anything right, and he's crazy, and he's a quack. He's responsible for the first recorded cures in the history of medicine.
That's amazing.
Came from their own papers. I'm not making this shit up.
And you know, and for all the good work he's done, if you go to his Wikipedia page, this is the
right.
This is the first thing you see. I'm reading from the Brzezinski Clinic entry on Wikipedia. The Brzezinski Clinic is a controversial clinic offering an unproven cancer treatment.
Right.
That's the first.
But I want to tell you, for people that don't know, even if, like, say I'm a huge TV personality or something, and they write something false on me, I cannot edit my own page. The same people that handle all of the misinformation campaigns out there currently today also control Wikipedia.
Right.
Do not ever use Wikipedia as a source. It's like Snopes.
Right.
Just saying.
Right.
For people that aren't aware of that.
It's just hilarious, you know, after all the research we've done, we know that it has been proven to cure right. cancer. And you know,
you can read his research trials.
Yep.
So anyway, I don't know. So one of the patients in there had a certain type of brain tumor that's very inoperable that you get when you're really young. So anyway, she was told that the treatment for this shoots radiation through your ears, burning off your hair. It burns and deforms your ears. You have a permanent loss of hearing. It destroys your pituitary gland. Now, your pituitary gland is responsible for not only your growth hormone, but it's also responsible for thyroid regulation, for hormones, all different kinds of hormones, all different kinds of chemicals, melatonin, etc., all come from pituitary gland regulates a lot of stuff. So basically, this is going to stunt her growth. She'll never have a period, never be able to have kids, and will turn into a vegetable. Okay, she's going to be in a vegetative state. And so the mom was concerned, and she said, well, what about her periods? And they said, well, she's not going to live that long anyway.
Oh, my God.
And this is what the cancer doctor, not Dr. Brzezinski, but her regular cancer doctor is telling her to do. So we're going to shoot this stuff in your ears that's going to burn you and scar you for life and cause permanent, you know, retardation of growth and hearing loss and all of that stuff and make you a vegetable.
Ugh.
But this is our recommended treatment.
Right.
I want that to sink into a lot of people. Okay.
And that kid I was talking about earlier, you know, that they mentioned in the documentary, you know, this 4-year-old girl, you know, her dad was, I believe he was like a sergeant in the San Francisco police force. Okay. So he said, you know, over the years, he's like, I've seen a lot of frauds. I've seen a lot of liars. I've seen a lot of terrible people. And, you know, in the courtroom, I think he was looking at a lot of people in the courtroom when he said that. But
definitely,
you know,
Congress members.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, but basically what he was saying, he's like, you know, I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that Dr. Brzezinski is not a quack. He's not a nut. You know, he after his daughter had went through radiation, he put her on the anti-neoplastons for 18 months. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then she had gone off of the anti-neoplastons for a time. And she died of brain damage from before she was on that
right.
from the radiation.
Right. Which I said before, the government requires that you do chemo and radiation before you get anti-neoplaston treatment.
Right. Right.
So they want to fuck you up real good before you go and actually get something that's going to work. That's not going to make you sick.
Oh. Right. Right.
So anyway, after the all of these court cases and whatnot, like I said, the government and private groups waged a massive propaganda campaign to discredit it. They said, you know, oh, there's no proven studies, blah, 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 all this stuff. They wrote Wikipedia articles. They made fake accounts. They made bot accounts. They made fake foundation accounts. Does that sound familiar? look at the cesspool of social media of these days. And the fake stories that they write on not only Trump, but like other politicians they don't like or right. other like media personalities, especially from Fox that, you know, they don't. It's basically a shutdown of free speech and free thought.
Right.
Okay, so that's what this was. And these are no different than the lobbying groups in Congress that are involved in writing legislation.
Yep, good point.
So if you don't know about that, the senators don't write their own legislation. The Congress doesn't write their own legislation. Lobbying groups write legislation. And then the members of the House and the Senate put their name on it. That's the way it works. And so, you know, you've got pharma lobbies is the biggest lobbying thing. You have oil lobbyists, you have stuff from every industry, but that's what these people do. And so these smear campaigns are all like lobbyists. So
damn.
Anyways, little fun fact, nearly 40% of people in their lifetime are going to develop cancer. Me personally, my entire family on both sides is cancer ridden. Like, you know, it's a gene, I guess. I'm probably going to get it at some point in time too, but I will not be doing chemo or radiation. They will never make me do that. That is not an option for me. Either I will die peacefully or I will travel to Texas and get his treatment. That's exactly what will happen.
Nice.
And that's what, my mom said, you know, towards the end of my mom's life, you know, they had called us up to, she had to get called into the hospital for some, you know, treatments and whatnot. And, you know, they called all us kids up there and they said, listen, mom has 3 weeks to live.
Okay. Right.
And you know, sure enough, she died three weeks to the day of them saying right. that. But after she said that, she said, you know what? Screw this. Just let me go home. You know, right. I'm done doing all this.
Yeah.
There's no, at this point, why are you putting all this stuff through me? And, you know, right. and it's painful to think about, you know, like, cause honestly, like, you know, Matt and Janet, you guys have known a lot of people that have cancer, you know, they don't look like themselves.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It really distorts how they look. And in like, I don't even like looking at pictures of her from that time because it's so right. disturbing. You know, that's not my mom. That's not the mom I knew. That's something that happened to her that, you know, made her look this way, you know? So at the end, she said, just let me go home. It's going to happen. So,
right.
you know, unhook me from all this shit.
Yeah.
Right. So I just want you to know that this particular research, this antineoplaston therapy, has actually been in clinical trials for well over 20 years, and the government has never approved it. They never will approve it.
Right. Yeah, they make more money on people being sick. It's just, that's a fact.
Yep.
Well, and here's a little ditty. That they said in the video, which is interesting, but it's probably true. Even if it was approved for treatment of one type of cancer, because the cancer industry makes trillions of dollars all the time, okay? Even if it was approved for one thing, the pharmacy business would be out of business so rapidly that it would also shut down Wall Street.
Oh, yeah.
And everything would crash.
Oh, it'd be horrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. You're right.
Yeah.
You know what's kind of funny though, that you know the pharmaceutical companies want this to go. But if you think about it, so I work in healthcare. I do a lot of work with, you know, hospitals, you know,
right.
fighting with insurance companies. And if you think about it from the insurance company angle, they would honestly prefer that this kind of treatment went through, right? Because
because it saves them a fuck ton of money.
They're the ones paying it out. And even, you know, right. even the government Medicare, they're the ones paying all this out to hospitals too. So it's kind of like shooting yourself in the foot, but I guess there's enough money that they're getting in the other hand that makes up for it.
Right. Which is stupid because the insurance industry is huge. Okay. And so,
right.
you know, the thought of the whole entire economy crashing just because one actual cure was patented, I have the hard time believing that because there's so much more money from other things.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So during this, at the end of 2014, Dr. Brzezinski actually finished up 14 clinical trials, and they improved the response and efficacy from 40% to 60%.
Jeez. Wow.
Fantastic, right?
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Yep. But when he published that, that's when they really came after him. So it wasn't just the FDA anymore. It was the IRS, the Securities Exchange.
Right.
Of course, the FDA still in the Texas Medical Board still and whatnot, but he had a massive, massive case in 2016. So anyway, it wasn't settled until 2017. And like I said, this jackass, his name was Denton, that sat on this board that came from the Fortune 500 company on all that stuff, recommended all of these things. And, you know, they were basically going to take his license away and put him out of business and all this other stuff. So the medical court board comes back and they said 94% of the charges against Dr. Brzezinski were unproven by the state. Only 6% were proven, and it was documentation or paperwork errors. That's easy. I mean, those kind of things happen, because I can tell you that just from being a nurse. Anyway, of the non-paperwork or documentation, or of the non-paperwork issues, which was the 94%, 99.996% they failed to prove. So only a 0.004% proof rate. No loss of license.
You know, it's funny, those stats you just said, 94% and 6%. Wow, that sounds like COVID numbers, doesn't it?
It does sound like COVID numbers. So I want you to know that other countries use this therapy. It's been around for quite a while. I've known about this for a while because... I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Dr. Whitaker. Dr. Whitaker has his own wellness institute. Anyway, he talks about, you know, the use of goji berries and stuff like that. Anyway, he puts out a newsletter. And so I've actually known about this for a while. But it's something I wanted to talk to you about, because if you listen to Trump's pressers or if you read his tweets, he did say something not too long ago about suppressed cures.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, that's right. He did.
So I thought this was very important to do because it's out there. Right. And like I said, it's natural. It's a naturally occurring element in your body. You don't get the kidney damage, the liver damage, the hair loss, the vomiting, the nausea, other cancers, et cetera, et cetera. It's a naturally occurring thing, right, that would be, oh my God, so much cheaper.
Right.
Because some of the chemo pills that they give you, some of them are pills and some of them are IV. It just depends, because there's a lot of different combinations of things that they use.
Yeah, I'll tell you some numbers here. You want to hear some interesting numbers?
Yeah, because I was going to say they're really pricey.
Yeah, so I did some research on, you know, just Medicare patients. So this doesn't include anybody who has Medicare through like an HMO, like, you know, you get a healthcare Anthem, all these other guys. This is just from the government itself. Okay, so for cancer treatments, and these are ones that are occurring like at a hospital. So mind you, they could be done at other places, but
right,
if they're done at the hospital, Medicare is paying roughly $9,000 a month, and the patients are paying roughly like $2,000 a month. So you're talking 11 grand a patient to come.
But you know, think about this. Times. Think about this, though. That may not be total submitted charges to Medicare. That's their allowable amount.
Oh, yeah. The total charges could be upwards of, you know, $15,000 to $20,000. So if you didn't have insurance at all, you're going to be getting that bill. You're going to get more than cancer when you pull the envelope out. I mean,
100%. And that's, I was going to say, because in the office that I worked in, I worked for a teaching hospital, and we had a lot of cancer patients. And they would come in and tell me, you know, like their cancer treatment is $20,000, $25,000. 11,000, whatever, or a combination of all the above, because, you know, it all depends on what they're actually, what combination the doctor put them on.
Right.
And so imagine if you're a patient that doesn't have insurance.
Oh my God.
You know what's funny?
You would never be able to pay that bill.
I got a quick story. So like right before I got sick in 2015, I lost my job. I was working with a friend of mine in downtown. The skyscrapers and all that, like that's where I was at. It was the financial district. My buddy had a flower shop and I helped him run it because I knew like every aspect of the business there. Hold on a second. I'm having a serious brain fart here. I forgot where I was going.
oh my God, you're related to me. Stop.
No, I know what it is. So
it's from all that chemo treatment you had, Matt. We know now.
Dude, I'm telling you, you know, from both of my surgeries, I do have like loss of memory and they said I'd have issues and stuff. Anyway, I know what it was. So right before I got sick, I lost my job in 2014. In 2015, say February, March, my girlfriend signed me up for Medi-Cal for like our state insurance because I didn't have a job. And she goes, I'm going to sign you up just in case you get sick. Dude, no shit. 4 months later, I was, you know, fighting for my life. So how weird that I had that. And I was so concerned that I was going to get a bill because I was 23 days in the ICU. I had two major surgeries. It's probably, you know, a couple million dollars. And I heard that Medi-Cal, I heard, has a $3 million cap. I don't know if they've raised that. But like, I mean, dude, I never saw a bill. I paid for nothing. All my visits are free. All my blood tests every month are free. Everything's free. And my girlfriend's like, hang on to this as long as you can. But what's really weird, I guess there's different tiers to Medi-Cal out here. I have no idea how we got this because she just filled it out. I signed it. And all of my surgeons were going, how did you get, you have tier one Medi-Cal. It's like the highest one. And I'm like, I have no idea. And the only thing I can figure is that every year they allow certain people who really need it into the program. And I think that they probably looked at mine and said, okay, this guy's going to die. If he doesn't get this, we're going to, you know, give him the best, you know, whatever service. But I mean, dude, I had great, great health care. I was at USC. I mean, it was top of the line. I really did. And it was all free.
I just want to know, maybe when she filled out the application, did she send them a picture of you on the short bus?
You know what? That may have been the deal breaker.
That's it. That's it.
And they were like, "Woo, Matt needs some extra help."
Yeah, they said super expedited the form because they're like, this guy really needs the help.
Right.
But yeah.
So Kyle, tell me how affected your family.
So, and you know, I'll go into this a little bit, and I just want to, you know, say before I get into this, you know, I'm not saying any of this to make anybody feel bad for me. You know, I don't feel bad for myself. I have a great life. I have an amazing wife. I have amazing kids. But, you know, so like I said, you know, 12, 13 years ago, my mom died of cancer. You know, I was literally in the room with her when I saw that. Matt, you said something similar too, right?
Oh,
that,
absolutely.
You know, when you see somebody breathe their last breath, you know, that's something that
right.
that stays with you forever. So, and you know, after that happened, so I have an older brother. He's about a year older than me. Okay. That morning, my dad had called both of us to, you know, come to the house. He said, hey, she doesn't have long, you know, come down here. You need to say your goodbyes. So I got there, said my goodbyes, you know, I had closure with her, you know. Unfortunately, my brother, you know, he had started getting into, hard drugs, you know, shortly before this, and he had been on a bender. So basically that day I had to go over and pick him up in his girlfriend's driveway and tell him that our mom was dead, you know? So that was, you know, that was almost as hard as watching her pass away, you know, seeing somebody, know they should have been there and should have done something and had no, and couldn't do anything about it. You know, he felt like shit. So
right.
Anyways, you know, within a year of this happening, my dad, so I live in Ohio. So my dad left, he got remarried, and his wife lived in Washington State. Okay. So, you know, because he, and you know, people that have had spouses pass away, you know, you can't live in that house. You know, I get that. It's very, very strange feeling. So my dad moved away, you know, got remarried. You know, I have an okay relationship with him, but it's just strange because he's basically distant at this point. You know, my sister was a teenager, you know, so she didn't really get a good relationship with mom. You know, like a lot of people know when you're a teenager, you're a fucking asshole to your parents, right?
Right.
It's not until you're, you know, 20s and 30s that you can kind of finally start to understand what they went through and what it's like being a parent. So she kind of got screwed of that relationship. You know, unfortunately, going back to my brother, almost 10 years and a few days after my mom passed away. He passed away of a heroin overdose. Oh, so, and, you know, he had been sober, for several years, kind of had a relapse, but, you know, he had an immense, you know, amount of guilt about that and a lot of things too. So, and like I said, you know, I don't say this for anybody to feel sorry for me, because I know people have other examples like this and worse examples too, right? Like people that have had children that have died, a spouse that had died. You know, this is all just an example to say, you know, cancer, it doesn't just take that person away. It basically destroys the entire family unit.
Right,
no,
it does.
It's never the same after that. So, and I know, like I said, a lot of people have, you know, similar experiences. So, you know, and to think, you know, with the anti-neoplastons, you know, not that I live in the past saying, oh, well, what if something was different? But, you know, what if she had another choice? You know,
right.
Or Matt, what if you had another choice? Or Janet, what if, you know, I know your husband, Greg, his dad passed away too. Like what if they all had another choice, another option than this terrible fucking, you know, death virus that we put in our bodies, you know?
Right. And that's the thing that pissed me off, while doing this research. The patients went and testified so many times, just repeatedly, about how improved their life was and how they'd lived, you know, it's 24 years after treatment or, you know, whatever. And it's like, the government just does not care. They claim to have your best interest at heart. However, they have tried nonstop to shut this man down and to take away the treatment that has cured so many people.
Right.
And the patients that testified were like, it's my body. It's my choice what I want to treat it with. Mm-hmm. And that's my thing. That's the title of the show today, is Never Say Die, because you have the option to make choices for yourself. Whether the government tells you that it's the only way to do it is through chemo and radiation, there's other options out there. Just like your medications,
right.
There's other stuff out there. And luckily, thank God, there are homeopathic doctors and stuff. They do the smear campaign and the propaganda campaign against them as well. But I'm telling you, natural stuff is the best way to not only heal, but to keep yourself healthy.
Right.
So just saying.
And it's kind of funny, if you know, the big conversation this year has been about, you know, the vaccine for COVID. If you think about it, like the vaccine to something like COVID is very similar to chemo and radiation to cancer, right?
It is.
Both of those, and even like the flu vaccine, stuff like that, they could have as equal to or worse effect than what they're trying to help. It's
right.
It's really fucked up.
And also think about, Matt, was it episode number 4 when we did the vaccines episode with Jack?
Yeah, I think it was the 4th.
And we talked about that and all the different things that they put in the vaccinations, and also that there have never been any safety and efficacy trials.
Right.
Over the 20-year period that they sued for, there's none.
Right.
They've put this man through hell, Dr. Brzezinski, through hell for 20 years and won't approve his shit. But vaccines are approved and put on the vaccine schedule with no trials.
Mm-hmm.
None.
Right. And they were in there at about like a 30% effectiveness, like the flu vaccine specifically, right? So even worse than his.
I would never get a flu vaccine ever.
Mm.
Nope. Not ever going to happen again. So anyways, final thoughts, everybody. Mr. Kyle, we'll start with you. Final thoughts?
Yeah. I kind of wanted to end on, I have a little bit of a, you know, a positive note here, you know, in Matt, I know, you know, in one of the prior episodes you talked about, you know, your heart surgery and how you really had a great experience, you know, with that. And everybody was so great, you know, while all this is really, really downtrodden and depressing, you know, I have a really good story to tell about healthcare too, regarding my dad, not necessarily about cancer, but, you know, a few years ago, he was diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver. Okay.
Oh.
Never drank. Okay. Isn't that kind of funny?
That's very rare to get cirrhosis without drinking.
Right. And similar to, you know, and my mom's situation is different, but she had never smoked and she ended up getting lung cancer. So just kind of like, really,
right.
that's just kind of a messed up little joke there. But anyways, so he was a very healthy individual, but he had developed cirrhosis and he was on the transplant list. And you know, if you know anybody that's like an alcoholic or has severe liver issues, you know, they also are going to have, you know, intense like kidney issues and other organ failures as well. So he was on this liver transplant list, but he was kind of technically relatively healthy. So he wasn't very high up on the list. Okay. So, and this is kind of crazy how life happens. In the area he lived, there was an 18-year-old girl who committed suicide.
Oh God.
And, but you know, she was an organ donor. Okay. So they harvested the organs, got them to where they needed to be. The number one liver donor on the list was an 8-month-old baby. Okay. So, what happened was that the Children's Hospital took this liver and it's a completely healthy, you know, a 18-year-old, you know, girl liver. And they basically, cut a fourth of it off. And, you know, stitched it together or whatever they do. And this 8-month-old baby now has a working liver because, you know, she can deal with that partial liver because she's very small. Right. So this Children's Hospital is looking around. They said, you know what? We have a 75% healthy liver here. You know, where can this go? And, you know, like I said, my dad was the only person on the liver transplant list that did not have any other organ failure. So he was the only person who could have taken a partial liver because of, you know, there's like rejection and things like that. If you're not healthy, you can't take any partial anything. Right. So,
right.
So they were able to use the rest of that liver for him. So it's not a crazy story. You know, one person died and two people lived.
That's true.
That's really impressive.
Yeah. So anyways, you know, that's kind of a good positive take. You know, so basically what I'm saying is, you know, there's all these terrible elite people out there, but also, you know, if it weren't for these people at the Children's Hospital that said, you know what, we have this liver, we have this part of a liver here. Can we give this to somebody to let somebody else live?
Right.
You know, and if they wouldn't have said that, they could have sure enough said, well, you know, we can't use this and you'll be done with it. But, you know, because of some really good people in healthcare, they made that decision and my dad's here today. So anyways, a little bit of a positive note for me.
That's fantastic. Mr. Matt, we'll kick to you.
It's funny. It's funny that you're talking about that because my heart surgeon was Dr. John Cleveland, and he went from basically, I guess the way they do it out here is every few months they rotate him, but he's over at the Children's Hospital in Hollywood and he's doing open heart surgery for that. So, I mean, yeah, you know, it's like, this is such a dark subject, but it's like, same with me. I mean, you know, if this would have happened to me 60 years ago, it would have been very scary as far as my open heart surgery. I mean, dude, I mean, imagine being a doctor's coming up to you and saying, hey, you need to have this. And if you don't want it, we'll send you home, but you're going to die in 4 months. So, I mean, there's a lot of bad in the medical industry and obviously a lot of greed and fraud and all that. But, dude, amen for the technology now. I mean, mine wasn't cancer, but I thought I had cancer because I lost 55 pounds without even trying. I just lost weight like nothing. So, I mean, there's always a silver cloud, I think, a silver lining to every cloud. We're alive at a good time right now, though, where there is so much of this, because if you think back 10, 20, 40, 50 years, I mean, a lot of this is an absolute death sentence. You
right.
know? So it has got better, but it's like, you know, we've all said there's just so much corruption and, you know, wanting to be controlling the narrative of controlling what you take and how you're looked at. And I mean, I never took pills in 44 years. I never took any pills. Now I take 4 pills a day, and that's like, what, 1,400 pills a year. Luckily, mine aren't affecting me internally because they're not that strong. But, you know, hey, maybe in 20 or 30 years it might. So I don't know. But, you know, it's a good time to be alive. I mean, yeah, there is a lot of negativity, but there is, you know, a lot of great technology that, dude, I'm telling you, if I didn't have this, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you guys right now.
Hey, although the fact that you're taking rat poison daily,
right?
I may have to set a trap and get you that way if the pills don't work.
I'm stupid. I'll fall for it every time.
Snap.
Yeah, you can do it like the dog. You know, you put a little pill in a piece of cheese and you can put it on the trap there and grab him.
I got a long neck, so it'll be easy to catch me.
So my final thoughts for today are just research for yourself. Know what's out there. Know what's available. Don't always buy the bullshit that you're sold. Because more times than not, it's not true. So the one thing they hate the most is an awake population. Because if you're awake, they can no longer control you. Right. So that's my final thought for today. So anyway, for me, for Matt, and for Kyle, make sure you follow all of us. Follow Conspiracy Kyle. Make sure you check out his Conspiracy in the Force podcast. Follow Matt at Jerry M. Moss on Twitter or Matt Moss Music. And of course, make sure you follow me because, well, I'm awesome. Sign up if you haven't already for the 4deep.com because we're going to be moving our podcast over there. I've already written 2 articles. We're going to have merch. We're going to have all kinds of other stuff. I designed some shirts the other day that I think are pretty funny. So I may post those later. So anyway, follow all of us. And as always, make sure you always question the narrative. Make sure you research, look into things for yourself. And thanks for listening to another episode of Deplorable Nation. Signing off. We'll see you next time.